This morning, I almost said this morning. This morning. Now, this morning, we're going to be reading from Luke 1, verses 46 through 55. Words can be found on the screen. There they are. Before I read, let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to join as a community of faith in this place, to hear your word read and proclaimed, to sing songs, to give hugs and smiles, to know that we're not alone on this journey as we go through this life together. And so, Lord, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Luke 1, 46 through 55, it says, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever.'" That's it. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So the waiting is almost over. We've moved through this season of Advent. All the candles are now lit besides the Christ candle. And during this season of Advent, we've been in a series called The Weary World Rejoices, based on a curriculum by Dr. Kate Bowler. And throughout the series, she's had different promises of God. Promises that we've looked at so far is truth and of compassion. And last week we looked at the promise of restoration. And today we're looking at the promise of justice. In Hebrew, justice means more than punishment or retribution for wrongdoing. But in Hebrew, justice is mostly concerned with the restoration and mercy of Jesus. Justice for the church is different than the way the world often uses the word justice. In the church, this kingdom of justice is ruled by grace and mercy, and there's nothing fair or equal about grace. For Jesus comes to bring justice through mercy, through love. The rightings of wrongs occur not when people get what they deserve, but when people are fed, when people are clothed, when people are empowered, when people are loved, when people find belonging. That's where we find justice. This is a gentle revolution, not some grand show of power, but God chooses the margins of society where God will be born in dire circumstances to an unwed mother in an unsanitary condition without proper roof over her head. Mary had no money, no husband, no house, no power, and no respect. And yet God saw her, God chose her, and God called her blessed. That is why Mary can sing this praise as we read this morning in the first chapter of Luke about the goodness and the redeeming work of God present in the present tense. Each declaration explaining what God has already done. A Savior born to an unlikely mother who cannot contain her joy. A joy not only for herself, but for everyone who finds themselves left out or skipped. And so in the scripture, Mary travels to visit her relative Elizabeth in Judean hill country town about 80 miles away from her home in Nazareth of Galilee. And in our interaction with Elizabeth, in which the baby bounces in the womb of Elizabeth, she is filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth declares, "The baby being born to Mary is indeed the Lord." And Elizabeth becomes the first human witness to the good news the angel brought to Mary. And following this, we read the scripture for today called the Magnificat, in which Mary's song of praise is shared. This relationship between Mary and Elizabeth is a connection between two pregnant women of different generations. God gives Mary and Elizabeth two things they lacked, which is connection and community. They're both pregnant with significance, for between them they will bear the messenger and the message. We see how God came to turn things upside down, becoming one with someone all others would consider unworthy for such a relationship. Upside down kingdom, inaugurated by the birth of Jesus, the coming of the Messiah. And so the story calls us to enter into the story, to express joy and amazement and foolishness and danger that we see enacted by Mary and Elizabeth. To enter into the situation means to seek a relationship, to walk with others on their journey. The meeting is a confirmation of hope and a fulfillment of God's promise of justice for all, no matter where one might find themselves. And I think that's a way that God reminds us once again that God works in the lives of anybody and everybody, and that we're never beyond the ability of God to use us for hope in the world. Brian Stevenson, he's a lawyer and author of the book Just Mercy, said that in talking about hopelessness, he said, "Hopelessness is the enemy of justice, and injustice prevails where hopelessness persists. Hopelessness is the enemy of justice, and injustice prevails where hopelessness persists. Strength and power is rooted in hope. To believe things that you haven't yet seen." That's what Mary and Elizabeth were doing as they were singing praise to God. They knew what was to come, even as their eyes hadn't fully seen it. Having a bigger world than what our eyes can see. It doesn't just happen overnight. A baby isn't born in a day. But the development of hope in the community takes time, and waiting is not a skill that comes to most of us. So instead, people and companies seem to use fear as currency to gain more influence and power toward those who have trouble sitting in the unknown, in the mystery. They use fear as a currency by presenting a narrative of the worst possible scenarios about people and places. You know, we don't make good decisions when those decisions are shaped by our worst fears. Hope is the most powerful antidote to that. Getting on the other side of fear. How do you get on the other side of fear? Well, you can't really advance injustice without being close to those who need to overcome that injustice. The marginalized, the oppressed. And so it requires proximity with others. Proximity helps change the heart by entering into the lives of others. It creates feelings of connection and relationship. God didn't just send a card in the mail, but he became one of us and one with us. He became close to us. It helps to keep you motivated when it's not easy, when you are there in the situation, when you've developed relationships, when you've developed proximity towards the other, you become more passionate about bringing hope to the world and those who seem hopeless. We do it by affirming their humanity and restoring their identity, engaging with others instead of moving against the connection and the community that God desires. In today's world, it's easy to isolate ourselves. All our houses have fence around them. We don't have to go out of our house very often. We can order our groceries on an app and have them delivered. If one wants to, they can just stay in their house all the time. It's easy to isolate ourselves from those who need generosity and compassion. But if we're really going to understand, then we have to get close to people who are experiencing injustice. We have to look for opportunities to become change agents and difference makers. For that is when the witness through God becomes one. Injustice prevails. Some of the things I've done in the past, instead of just watching protests that took place on the news, I would go down and be with the people who were protesting, who were seeking support and solidarity for the family who had lost their child due to unfair judgment and prejudices. Instead of just hearing about immigration crisis on the border, well, I was able to actually go into the courtrooms where brothers and sisters were being processed and was able to see and hear firsthand the situation. Becoming close. Every week there are people from this church who go down and support the unhoused neighbors of Austin, and over a period of time, the community that they've formed within themselves, you become part of a community as well. And you're able to overcome those opinions that maybe we formed. Or instead of just watching the eighth graders walk by each day, going and being with them during a celebration, it takes time to get to know others and to understand their situation. It doesn't happen overnight. But through the example of Christ and the birth into this world through Mary, we see the world that Christ desires, where the lowly are lifted up, where the powerful are brought down, where the hungry are filled with good things. May we sing that same song that Mary sang. May our relationship with Jesus as he comes to enter into our world inspire us to sing of that same joy that we see in Mary in today's scripture. May we be agents of that joy and that love for the world around us. Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for your example. We thank you for the ways in which you came into this world to give us hope, to show us what justice really means, to inspire us to be agents of that justice and love. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.